Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, as well as Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we will hopefully conclude today, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. We saw Achan get caught as the one who had taken from the spoils of the war with Yericho. And Achan acknowledged his sin. He said that he indeed was guilty. And we actually saw him say in Perek Zion, chapter 7, sentence 20, he said, Anochi chatasi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I sinned against Hashem, God of Israel, v'chazos v'chazos asisi, and I did this and this, such and such, right? Much like what we say for vidui in general, it's important to enumerate what one has done, so that vidui that's done, you know, in Yom Kippur, one is supposed to actually specify, not to other people, but to God, what they did wrong. And that's the simple read of what happened here. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel Amid Beis, says, Chazos v'chazos asisi, means, I did this, like this, like this. Meaning, I did this multiple times. There were two times in the Chumash when we fought wars, and there were spoils, and we were told the spoils were off-limits, or some of them were off-limits. One was the war against Canaan in Parshas Chukas, after the death of Aharon, and the other was in the war against Midian in Matos Maaseh, where part of the spoils were supposed to go to the Mishkan. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel Amid Beis, says that Achan actually took from those spoils as well. Well, if that's true, why is it that we only had this issue now, where they lost the war with Ai, because he took from the spoils? So it seems that it's because we didn't have collective punishment until we crossed the Yarden, right? That's something that we've talked about already, that collective punishment begins only when we cross the Yarden. So this now is when it hits them. So Achan declares that he has indeed taken these items from the Cherem. He enumerates them in sentence 21, like we said. And he said, they're under my tent. So Pasuk Chaf Bey, sentence 22. Vayishlach Yehoshua malachim vayarutzu ha'ohala. Yehoshua sent agents and they ran to the tent. Vehine tmuna be'ohalo. Sure enough, they're hidden in his tent. Vakesef tachteha. The silver is underneath. When it says here that he sends malachim. So like we said before, when we talked about how the spies who went to Rachav's house were identified as malachim, the word malach can just mean an agent. But the fact that Tanakh chooses to call them malachim instead of just saying anashim or agents or some other term, shlich, whatever, the fact that it chooses to call them malachim sends us a message. It says that there's a certain purity to them, perhaps suggesting that that what we're saying is that they are of pure intent. They're doing this not because they want to take something, not because they want to make somebody look bad, but they're doing this simply for the sake of carrying out justice, setting things right, and returning the Jews to their good status before Hashem. So Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayikachum mitocha ohel, sentence 23, they took the spoils from the tent, Vayivium el Yehoshua ve'al kol b'nei Yisrael, they brought them to Yehoshua, to all of the Jews, Vayatzikum lifnei Hashem. And they laid them out, or he laid them out before God. The word vayatzikum is an interesting word. It can mean to pour out. However, the word mutzak is something that is very strong. And I wonder if that's not, if that doesn't contribute to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. On the face of it, the Gemara is picking up on the fact that it says that Yehoshua lays these out in front of the Jews, they're all there, and in front of God. So listen to what the Gemara says. Amar of Nachman, ba v'chavtam lifnei hamakom. He came and threw them down before God. Amar lefanav, he said before Hashem, Ribono shel olam, master of the universe, al elu tehareg ruba shel Sanhedrin. Should the majority of the Sanhedrin, right, that whole thing about the 36 who were killed, Should they be killed for this? What Yehoshua is doing here is remarkable. He is seizing a leadership role, right? After his failure initially, right? Hashem said, Kumlach, right? Get up, you. And we talked about that when the Jews were first routed by Ai. Now Yehoshua is challenging Hashem, saying, really, is this warranted, the death toll that we suffered at the hands of the Canaanim? You abandoned us to this? Over what? Over a couple of things that one person stole? What this is reminiscent of is Moshe in the Midbar after the Egel. Right? If you remember the way the Gemara reads that, Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, as part of his defense, he says, Chata ha'am hazeh, this nation has sinned. Asu lahem Elohei zahav, they made for themselves gods of gold. They made themselves gold idols. So the Gemara Bracha says, Moshe is not simply restating what Hashem already knows. Rather, he's saying to Hashem, you caused this. You gave them all this gold, right, from the Egyptians who drowned at the sea, from what they took out of Egypt. You gave them all of this gold. And then you left them for 6 weeks in the Midbar. What did you think was going to happen? That's what Moshe is saying to Hashem. Of course they sinned. Yehoshua is defending also by going on the offensive. And he says to God, really? This was the big sin that warranted that. Yehoshua is doing something very interesting here. He's emulating Moshe. He does it in front of the nation for them to see Yehoshua defend them. And he's really made a switch in the sense that at the start of our story, right, the very end of chapter 6, sentence 27, Yehoshua was standing side by side, so to speak, with Hashem, and now he is challenging Hashem for the nation. If you want to really see this image, remember that when Moshe went up the mountain to get the Torah, well, he went up for the 40 days, right? Yehoshua was halfway up Har Sinai. Yehoshua is both places. He's with the nation and he's with God. So what Yehoshua is doing here is he is saying, I am placing myself as the defender of the Jews before Hashem. He lays this out before God. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, sentence 24. Vayikach Yehoshua's Achan ben Zerach. Yehoshua takes Achan ben Zerach. We've sort of sandwiched the generations here. I'm not sure why. Ves hakesef, ves haderes, ves lashon hazahav, all of the things that he had stolen, the silver, the cloak, the gold, ves banav, ves benosav, his sons and his daughters, ves shoro, ves chamoro, ves tzono, ves ahalo, his animals, ox, donkey, sheep, his tent, ves kol asherlo, and all of his, v'chol Yisrael imo, and all Israel with him, v'yalu osam emek achor, and they brought them up to emek achor. Emek Achor is what we are renaming this location from that key word Ayin Chaf Resh, which sounds a lot like Achan, doesn't it? But you'll see in a second. Take a look at Pasuk Chaf Hei, sentence 25. Vayomer Yehoshua. Yehoshua said, Me'achar Tanu, you have clouded us. You have muddied us. You have made us dirty before God. Ya'akarcha Hashem bayom hazeh. May God make you clouded and dirty on this day. You made us bad. May God, bring this upon you. Note back in chapter 6, sentence 18, when Yehoshua initially declared the spoils off limits, he said to be careful about it, lest somebody take and va'achartem oso. The same word, the same Ayin Chaf Resh. So now the place is renamed Emek Achor. And in fact, if you were to look in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 2, sentence 7, you would find there, looking it up on mine here, when Achan is listed, it says, Ubnei Karmi, the descendants of Karmi, Achar Ocher Yisrael, Asher Ma'al Bacherem. Achar, the Ocher Yisrael, like Yehoshua calls him here, who trespassed on the spoils. So that word becomes associated with Achan as well as this location. Okay, back to the story in Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vayirgemu Oso Chol Yisrael Evan. All Israel stoned him. Vayisrefu osam bo'esh, and they burned them in fire, vayiskelu osam bo'avanim, and threw stones on them. What exactly is this? So first of all, remember what Abarbanel said earlier regarding the whole harshness of the penalty. The harshness of the penalty for Achan is not because he took from the spoils, it's because what he did to the Jews as a whole. The death toll for the nation, as well as causing them to turn tail and to lose their morale. The fact that he would do this terrible thing to the nation as a whole just in order to satisfy some greed. That's what this is all about. Remember what in the speech Yoshua just gave, he didn't talk about theft per se. He talked about having clouded us before Hashem. It's about what Achan has done to the Jews in their relationship with God. In terms of the punishments that are brought here, right, you have to tease out what's being done to whom. And the key is in the pronouns. Vayirgamu oso kol Yisrael. He is killed by the nation. And then it says, Vayisrafu osam. They burned them in fire. And Vayiskalu osam ba'avanim. They threw stones on them. So what is the them? So Rashi and Radak say that it's the property. So so he is killed, and then they take the stuff that had been taken from the spoils, and they destroy that as well. Radak has another way to read this as well, but I'm going to stick with that right now. Pasuk Chavav, sentence 26. Vayakimu olav gal avanim gadol adayom hazeh. They set up a great big pile of stones on him to this very day. We've seen Ad Hayom Hazeh quite a few times already in Yahushua. Vayashav Hashem mecharon apo. Hashem recanted from his outrage at the Jews. Al kein kara shem hamakom ahu emek achor adayom hazeh. And therefore, like we said, they call this place emek achor until this very day. So they've now laid to rest this terrible deed from Achan. Beginning of Perek Ches, Hashem says to Yoshua, okay, now take the nation and go back to war against Ai, because this time I am going to defend you, and that's what we'll have to see, God willing, tomorrow.